And so in the science show about cooperation, human empathy and the choices we make when it really counts, like today, where can these assumptions lead? Len Fisher and his friends and colleagues have nutted out where the evidence may go to. Len is a physicist at Bristol in the UK and lives much of the time in the Blue Mountains, New South Wales. Len.
I spoke to you recently about how we might make the best decisions in the face of a deeply uncertain future. I asked whether I was being irrationally optimistic about the rationality of our leaders and of ourselves. But let's face it, we can be as rational as we like and play the odds as best we can and still end up in the sort of messes that presently confront us. That's for one very simple reason. It's because we are being rational on behalf of ourselves as individuals, or small groups of individuals, rather than being rational on behalf of the wider community of which we are a part. I'm not going to launch into a diatribe about the relative merits of different political, economic, or ideological systems on this issue. That's not what this talk is about. It's not what the science show is about either. The science show is about taking a long, hard look at how science can contribute to our understanding and to the solution of our problems. Quite often, that means starting from an axiom and seeing where it leads. The axiom in my previous talk was that people tend to base their decisions on individual self-interest and cooperate mainly when it is in their own interest to do so. But is this really true? There are lots of counterexamples where people behave altruistically, even at some cost to themselves. Psychologists and game theorists have been banging their heads against a wall for some time, trying to understand why people can sometimes, or even often, behave as self-sacrificing altruists. They've come up with all sorts of ingenious explanations to salvage the idea that, despite appearances, the people concerned are really serving their own interests, for example, by satisfying the need to feel good about themselves. But no one has any really convincing explanation for disinterested altruism. What matters, though, is not that we can't explain altruism, but that we urgently need it. Experience and theory are both sending us a clear message that we are in deep trouble so long as we continue to put our own interests before those of the wider community and the people in it. For the lessons of experience, just watch the news. The theory comes in the form of game theory, which has been telling us for the last 70 years about the prisoner's dilemma and the tragedy of the commons. Both of these describe paradoxical but common circumstances where the pursuit of individual self-interest can lead to situations where self-interest is the last thing that is being served. Yes, I know that this is a simplistic explanation and that there are subtleties that I can't go into here, but the overall message is clear. Focusing on our individual interests might have worked well in the past, but the greed creed is past its sell-by date when it comes to tackling present-day problems. Our best chance lies in cooperation. But how can we achieve this? It seems to need a seismic shift in community attitudes. Adam Smith recognised the importance of community attitudes in making the greed creed work. He spelled the creed out in a book called The Wealth of Nations, where he argued that the so-called free market, driven by individual self-interest, would produce the best outcome for society as a whole. Yes, I know that I'm putting this simplistically as well. So do many economists and politicians, few of whom seem to realise that this was Smith's second book. The one before it was called The Theory of Moral Sentiments, and Smith argued that concern for our own happiness, that is self-interest, recommends to us concern for that of other people and the virtues of justice and beneficence. In other words, according to its originator, the free market should be embedded in the context of a compassionate and just society. Otherwise, it can lead to just the sort of division, inequality, and unfairness that we see today in so many countries. That's not entirely the free market's fault, although it is certainly a major factor. But surely the time has come for Adam Smith's dream of a compassionate and just society to be made into a living reality, with cooperation and compassion taking centre stage and self-interest and competition relegated to their proper places as supporting actors. This isn't just a moral position, it's a practical one. Because genuine compassion, what Smith called beneficence, engenders trust, and trust has been identified by game theorists, psychologists, and others as the key to resolving the paradoxes that bedevil cooperation between self-interested people. Trust is equally important, incidentally, even between altruistically inclined people who are anxious and willing to cooperate with others for their mutual benefit. Compassion is a powerful weapon for evoking trust, but it's not the only one. Putting yourself in a position where it is obvious to others that you will lose out if you break a trust can also be quite effective. This strategy even applies to compassion itself. The recipient needs to be convinced that the compassion is genuine and not easily withdrawn. To whom should we be showing this compassion? Everyone, according to the spiritual leaders, such as the 14th Dalai Lama. But if we are to use it to initiate a genuine shift in attitudes, there is one group of people in particular to whom we should be showing compassion. That is the people who don't agree with us. We aren't going to persuade them by argument and facts. Psychologists have long recognized that when people have a strongly held belief, their response to being presented with facts against it is generally to hold the belief even more strongly. But genuine compassion can catch them off guard. I don't want to overstate my case, which has also been made by quite a few others, but there is considerable evidence that compassion can help to open doors to communication where nothing else can. And that's what we want. Because the path that we need to develop and nurture in the face of our present difficulties begins with compassion, leading to trust, leading to communication, leading to altruistic cooperation for the benefit of all. In any case, it is surely worth trying compassion for others as a fresh axiom for action, rather than basing those actions on our own self-seeking interests. Nothing else seems to have worked.
Len Fisher, FRS, lives in the Blue Mountains and does physics in Bristol. And it's interesting that Adam Smith arrived at Balliol College, Oxford, to write those books at just 17, already with a degree. For more, do look at Andrew Lee's delightful book, The Shortest History of Economics. Yes, Andrew Lee, the MP. Cooperation, the glue of civilization. And there's a new report in the journal Nature this week on that.